Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20 as we continue on in our series in the book of Acts. We told you we're going to take 3 weeks in the book of, in the chapter, Acts chapter number 20. And this is our second week. We looked at last week, Apostle Paul is speaking to a group of Ephesus preachers, preachers that were from Ephesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And remember, this church of Ephesus is a place where he started. He probably won most of these preachers to the Lord. And they're there, and he's on his way to Jerusalem, cannot go all the way to Ephesus. He calls and asks him to come to Miletus, and they meet there, and he's kind of giving them a sermon or a message, something that's heavy is on his heart. Last week he looked about the past and how he talked about his testimony, his service. He's explaining to them why he's getting ready to say the things he's getting ready to say. And this week we're looking at the present. It's found in Acts chapter number 20. It's verses 22 through 24. You say, how do you know it's the present that he's speaking about and the ones before? It says, well, in verse 22, it says, and now he's speaking to this church. Remember, this has got to be an emotional time. Paul knows that. He even tells them in, I think it's verse number 25, that they're not going to see him anymore. He knows that he's not going to make it back to Ephesus. He knows that he's probably going to be giving his life to the Lord here soon. He's going to be offering his life up for the Lord in service and even in death here. And you know what? This is special to him. This is a group that he worked with probably longer than any of the other cities, at least one certain time for a period of years. And he brings this group here, and he's bearing his heart with them. He's showing him and demonstrating all the things that you may say if you know that you're never going to see one again, and someone maybe that you've mentored, and someone maybe that you won to Christ. And remember, more than likely, he's won these men to Christ. He's discipled them, and he set them up in ministry, and he spent many hours. And if you just read the verses that we read last week, you just see the emotional ties that are there. Actually, let's just go ahead and read a couple of these verses. In verse number 18, he says, when they were come to him, who are they referring to? He's talking about the pastors from Ephesus. He said unto them, ye know that from the first day, and Paul's saying, you remember the first day I met you, this is what I had on my heart, and this was what I had on my mind. This is how I was going to act. That I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. And we talk about that verse, all seasons, talking about all the different trials, circumstances, everything he's gone through. Verse number 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. So he was humble about it, and also he was emotional. He invested his heart in temptations, talking about trials which befell him. Befell me by lying in the way of the Jews. In verse number 20, he talked about his ministry, his methods, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. He preached what was needed to be said and have taught, nothing to you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, and how he had a public ministry and even a private ministry. And in verse 21 refers to how he did for everyone, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 22 is where we're starting at. He talked about his past. Now in verse 22, he says, and now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He's saying, look, I feel like the Lord is leading me. The Spirit of God is leading me. I am bound. This is where I have to go. And it says, he does not know what's going to happen. In verse 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And we've seen this in all our study in the book of Acts, how city after city, most times he's run out of the cities, he's faced much persecution, faced many temptations. Verse 24, as I mentioned to you last week, is one of my theme verses. And if I had to say is my favorite verse in the Bible, this is what I say to be my favorite verse of the Bible. It says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, what's just a wonderful verse that Paul gives here, saying, look, I'm not going to let any of these things stop me from what I believe God has called me to do. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the message, finishing with joy. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the things we've heard, Lord, been encouraged with the music already this morning. And Lord, the fellowship, and thank you for the visitors that are here. Thank you for our church folks that are here today. Lord, I pray that even during this time, Lord, you bind the devil. And Lord, don't give him or any of his demons, Lord, access. Lord, just keep our hearts and our minds focused on your word and your teaching. And I pray you give me the exact words that you want me to say. Lord, help those words to be effective and change. And Lord, through your power and your spirit, Lord, to make a difference in everyone's life today. In Jesus' name, amen. The classic movie, it's called a classic movie. I've never seen it, but it was a pretty cool sermon illustration, so I thought I would share it with you. And in a classic movie, Chariots of Fire, Eric Little, and I do know a little bit about Eric Little, is having a conversation with his sister. Eric Little was the runner that also became a missionary. She didn't understand his love for running, and she did not understand why he would want to compete in Olympic Games. She also could not understand his calling of a missionary. This was Little's response. He says, "All I know is that God has made me fast, and I feel his pleasure when I run." Remember that. All I know is that God has made me fast, and I feel his pleasure when I run. Now, I don't know about you, but I know there's some people out there that enjoy running. There's a few. I know that there's some people in the church that has ran marathons before. I am not one of those people. I do not like running. That's just me, and that's now I have been as in high school, a little bit in college. I played some sports, and also helped coach some sports. And that running was part of the necessity. And I've learned to see that there's really three types of runners. There's one person that runs and does it grudgingly. They might have the ability to run harder. They might have the ability to run faster. They just don't want to do it. That would be me. So that just so you know. And then there's a second group is a type of runner that's trying really hard but barely moving. I mean, you see certain guys that maybe doesn't have the strength or talent or ability, but you see they got a smile on their face and they're trying the best they can. But you know what? They're not going very far. And then you see the third person, who I think probably needs some help mentally, that enjoys running. It's a sense of enjoyment. They get on there and they run and they got a smile on their face. They're into it. I think that's great. I think it's wonderful. Christian Bateman, I've exercised near him and saw him on a treadmill just there running and just running at full force and looking at his machine and seeing all how fast he was running and looked at him and said, he's got a big smile on his face. I'm thinking, man, that kid's crazy. So and then he goes and, you know, wants to do more. I don't understand that. So that's, but you know, in our spiritual lives, I think we can make the same type of comparison. Apostle Paul here, he's saying, look, in verse 24, I want to finish my course of joy. He's comparing this to a race. And he's saying, look, I want to run this race, but I don't want to just run it. I want to know of joy. And I think even in our spiritual lives, we can probably even narrow down these three different people. There's some that are trudging along in agony. You know, even if they're a Christian and a believer, it's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way that God designed it. It's not what God wants. But there he goes, trudging along in agony. I mean, they're just, I got to do this, I got to do that. Or there could be the second group. They're trying really hard, but they're not using the Holy Spirit of God. They're doing a lot of things. They're really active, but they're really not accomplishing very much. And then there's the third group. It just takes off. And just has a smile on their face and is just happy in serving the Lord. So that's the group I think the Apostle Paul is here. He's saying, none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself. And you see that next phrase, the reason why he does these things is so that I might finish my course with joy. The Apostle here is, he's giving this illustration, and that's where you get that line from Eric Little was, all I know is that God has made me fast, and I feel his pleasure when I run. And when I saw that line, and I saw the Apostle Paul here saying, look, I want to finish my course of joy, he found pleasure in serving the Lord, and he said, all I want to do is to be able to be filled with joy at the end. So there's three things here this morning that I think that we can find in this passage of Scripture that can help us to finish with joy. I know so many times God's people do not have joy in their heart. They don't have joy in their mind and on their spirit. God wants Christians to be filled with joy. And the Bible says that we should be filled with the Spirit, right? And the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I mean, we should be excited about our service for the Lord and wanting to serve. And that's what the Apostle Paul here, I think he's saying, look, I want to finish this course. God's put me on a course. And he has compared the Christian life to a race before. And he's talked about that. And we've talked about that. But I like to focus in on, and I want to get sidetracked on that. But I like for us to be focusing on this idea of running this race or finishing this race with joy. First thing I want you to see, running with joy involves being led by the Spirit. Running with joy involves being led by the Spirit. You see what it says in verse number 20? What does it say? That he's bound in spirit. He's doing what God has done, called him to do. He's doing what God, he believes, God has said, this is what I want you to do. Now, commentators would agree and disagree together, and they do that a lot, because different people look at it different ways. Some people think that Paul should never went to Jerusalem. But here, Paul saying in his testimony that he feels like he's bound in spirit. He has no other choice. But you see, he has peace. He does it with joy. He says, you know, the only thing that he knows, you see here in verse number 23, he says, say this Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bounds and affliction abide in me. He says, I don't know what's going to happen in Jerusalem, but I know that abound is going to abound in afflictions, and bounds, are going to be there waiting for me. I tell you, if you're going to finish with joy, you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. You say, why do you say that? Well, first thing I want you to think about is, Paul says, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know it's not going to be good. But then just a verse later, he says, but I want to finish with joy. You know what? He was content and he was satisfied. If he was doing what God had told him to do and where he felt led by the Holy Spirit of God, that was good enough for him. Most of us in our Christian lives, in our Christian walk, you know what we want to do? God, you tell me what you want me to do, then I'll decide if I want to do it. God, as long as I know what's going to happen tomorrow, as long as I know that nothing bad's going to happen, no type of persecution's going to happen, no type of affliction's going to happen, I'll do it. I'll be happy. I'll finish my course of joy because of the fact that everything's going to be easy. And Paul's saying something here different. He's saying he's not going to let these things move him. And he's saying here that, hey, look, I'm going to finish my course of joy. And you know how you're going to finish your course of joy is when you learn to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, and let that be enough. Let that be content in your life. I know there's been times in my life when I've tried to do things on my own. And you know what? I've been miserable. When I've tried to do God's work in my own way, in my own timing, you know what? It doesn't work. It's like that guy that's trying really, really hard, but not getting very far. See, the Bible doesn't tell us that we're promised tomorrow. The Bible tells us not to boast of tomorrow. And instead of worrying about tomorrow and fretting about things that we have no control of anyway, we should be willing to seek the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit of God and continue in His way and continue in His walking. And when we walk in the Spirit, we're going to be producing the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why Paul can say, look, I know I'm going to face afflictions. I know I'm going to face bonds. I know I'm going to face hard times. I'm ready to offer my life. I'm ready to sit in the jail cell and write the message to the Church of Philippi to rejoice in everything. Rejoice. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm willing to do all those things because I'm being led by the Spirit of God. And as I'm being led by the Spirit of God, I'm content with that. I'm happy with that. I don't have to fret. I don't have to worry. I don't have to do anything else except for saying, God, I want you to lead me. God, I want you to guide me. And God, I'm going to be happy with that. Christian, I think this is an important point that many of us miss. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. Many times we wonder and we worry and we're upset, we're concerned. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. One of the biggest sins that happens in churches like ours is the sin of worry. It's easy to do. Our flesh tells us to do it because we're so worried about this and we're so worried about that, and we let it overwhelm us, and no longer do we have the faith to take the steps of faith that God's called us, or even to take that stand that God's called us to do. We worry and we worry and we worry. Paul says, no, that's not finishing with joy. That's not running your race with joy. That's not living your Christian life with joy. And worry has taken and robbed so many people of that joy that Christians walk around. Instead of being filled with faith, they're filled with fret. If we really want to finish our race, and he said finish his course with joy, we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit of God and be happy, be content with it, be satisfied with it. You say, Pastor, how in the world do I get to be filled with the Spirit of God? You know, that's another sermon, but it's surrendering your life to the Lord's will, listening to God speak. You mean God speaks to you? We talked about that in Sunday school class. God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, but he speaks to our hearts sometimes through events, through circumstances. Sometimes it's just that still small voice. Sometimes it's through preaching, but God does want to speak to you. God does have a plan. God does have a purpose, and that purpose includes doing what he's called you to do, but doing it with joy. It's doing it with joy. I think many of us miss that spot in the Christian life. First thing I want you to see is running with joy involves being led by the Spirit. The second thing I want you to see is running with joy will involve having the right set of values. The right set of values. You say, oh, there you are, preacher, again, preaching about standards. Now, this is a little bit different on this one. The right set of values. Look what it says in verse 24 again. It says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. First thing I want you to think about underneath running with joy will involve having the right set of values is not overvaluing self. Not overvaluing self. Paul writes, neither count I my life dear unto myself. And Paul's saying, look, I can finish this course. I can do this work. I can have joy. It's because I don't think too highly of myself. I don't worry about myself when I'm serving. Philippians 3:8 talks a little bit about this. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He did not care what happened to him. If it meant the work of the Lord was going to be done, if it meant that God's gospel was going to get out, he says, okay, I'm not going to put myself in that way. I'm not going to put my life and my desires and my interests and my longings in the process of getting in the way of my course. And he says this in many verses. Remember in the verse when he talked about asking about his thorn being taken away, how he did it three times. He says, and God responded, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. He's telling Paul, I'm not going to take this away, that my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He's saying here, look, I have not overvalued myself. He says, if it meant that the power of Christ was going to rest upon me, then I'm not going to try to push away my infirmities. Instead, he says, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. He says, I was asking God, please take this thorn away from me. Please take this infirmity away from me. Please get this out of my life. Get this out of my heart. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he continued on and says, for my strength. And God's saying, look, my strength can be made perfect in your weakness. And Paul said, he gets this and he says, you know what? If it means that I have to be weak, so that way God's strength can be on me, so that way I can be filled with the Spirit of God, so that way God can use me and God's work can be done, it's okay with me. Because I don't value myself too highly. Because I know that this life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. So if we really want to finish with joy, we're going to need to learn not to overvalue ourselves. We're going to need to be like the Apostle Paul that says, look, whatever it takes that Christ's power can rest upon me, I'm okay with. And he didn't overvalue himself. He didn't overvalue his feelings. The Lord didn't take that thorn away. And when the Lord didn't take that thorn away, he didn't say, I'm going to quit. And Paul didn't say, Lord, if you don't do this for me, I just can't serve you. He didn't say that. You know, a person that says, I'm going to quit if I don't get my way, that's a person that overvalues himself. If God has laid something in their pathway and they're like, Lord, if you don't take this away, I'm not going to do this. That's a person that overvalues himself. God has put things in people's lives and people's hearts. He didn't say, it's my way or the highway. He didn't say, if I'm not happy, I'm going to make sure everybody else is unhappy. He didn't say any of that. Person who overvalues themselves when God brings something in their lives and they worry about themselves and they worry how it's going to affect them and worry how it's going to affect their life and their circle of things. That's a person that overvalues himself. That's not a person that's interested in their ministry. That's not a person that's interested in finishing joy with joy. That's a person that says, my way is more important than anybody else's. Second thing, I want you to not overvalue yourself, but also there's a second point here about valuing your ministry. He says here in verse 24, but none of these things move me. neither count I my life dear unto myself. You know, where is that today? I mean, where are the William Bordens of the day and the Hudson Taylors that would say, get on boats and say, you know what, if I never return, it's okay. Where are those people who will go and say, you know what, it doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter what happens to my life. Where is the people like Paul that would say, I don't count my life dear unto myself. It's God's life and I'm willing to do whatever it is that he wants me to do. But he says here that so that I might finish my course of joy, and his next three words, and the ministry. See, he had saw that God had placed him in a ministry. He knew that ministry was important. He valued that ministry. He didn't overvalue himself, but he saw what God had given him, and he said, Lord, I value the ministry you've given me. Timothy wrote it this way in 1 Timothy 1:12. He says, actually, Paul wrote this to Timothy. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He says, look, the Lord has enabled me, and I thank God because he counted me faithful, and he placed me in the ministry. Paul was saying, look, I'm thankful for this. I value the ministry that God's given me. And some of the reasons why people don't finish their course with joy is, number one, they overvalue themselves. And secondly, they don't value the ministry that God's given them. I mean, I think we all have been given a ministry by God. I mean, I know some say, hey, they're a little bit older, they can't do as much, and they can pray. I hope you value that ministry. I know some work with little kids, and they're like, sometimes they can be brats. And yes, they can be brats sometimes, but sometimes adults can be brats too. So I hope you value that ministry. If God's giving, you know, I know some work on the vans. I hope you value that ministry. I know some has teaching positions. I hope you value that ministry. Some have choir positions. I hope you value that ministry. I hope you don't value yourself so highly that you say, I know the church, the choir has standards and the choir has certain regulations, but I think I'm better, and I think I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to value myself more than I value the ministry. There's people that do that. There's people that, you know those people? They don't finish with joy. They get so worked up and they get so worried about themselves. Paul realized that the opportunity to minister to others was a gift from God. And you know, when we have people who serve and, you know, from the cleaning to the, you know, from offerings to nursery, you know, we're supposed to do this with joy. You know when you're going to do it with a smile? Is when you value the ministry that God's given you. Paul, he said he was not even concerned. He valued his ministry so much, he was concerned to live in such a way as to he might lose the great privilege of preaching. Think about what it says in 1 Corinthians 9:27. It says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is saying, I value the ministry that God's given me, the ministry of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ so much, I keep my body under subjection because I don't want to lose my influence. I don't want to be considered a castaway. I value what God has given me and the opportunity God has given me, and I value it so much, I'm going to make sure I live a life a certain way. I'm going to keep my body under subjection so I do nothing to stop myself from being able to be a part of that ministry. What an important key here. Not overvaluing yourself and valuing the ministry God's given you. Those are both key. You say, Pastor, I don't have a very big ministry here at the church. Do you value it? Do you value your church here? Are you faithful? I mean, some people say, well, all I can do is just come to church. Then make that your ministry. Come, smile at the people that are sitting next to you. They're going to miss you when you're not here. Value that by not missing. God has given us all a gift, and he plans for all of us to use it in some way or another. Three things here. First is running with joy. It's not only going to involve the right set of values. Running with joy also is going to, running with joy will involve staying the course. You go back to verse 24, it says, but none of these things move me. Paul did not let circumstances stop him. You say, Pastor, didn't you already talk about that? Well, you think about it. Paul, and there's been a lot of circumstances here. You go back to verses 18, 19, and 20. He ministered to these people. He had to do it humbly. He didn't let pride stop him. He didn't let emotion stop him because he got hurt. I'm sure he goes hurt. When you work with people, sooner or later, you're going to get hurt. There's temptations. There's trials. And he continues on going back and forth, not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring, not knowing what's going to happen. He says, none of these things move me. None of these things stop me. I want to finish my course of joy. And if we want to finish your course of joy, we're going to have to start saying, you know what? I have to have the right set of values. If I really want to be joyful, it can't be about me. It's got to be about the ministry. If I really want to be joyful, I got to be willing to be led by the Spirit of God. And as I'm led by the Spirit of God, I'm happy with that. I'm content with that. I don't need to know tomorrow. I don't need to know next year. I don't need to know tomorrow, the years down the road. All I need to know is that God is leading me. And I'm happy with that. That's when we're going to be able to have joy. The third thing is running with joy. And will involve staying the course. Paul didn't let the circumstances stop him. In the back book of Romans, he had recently wrote this letter during this time period, I believe. He uses these phrases in Romans 8:36. He says, killed all the day long. He's saying, for the cause of Christ, he was accounting himself as a sheep for the slaughter. Killed all the day long as a sheep for the slaughter. The important was for him to finish the ministry that God had entrusted him. He says, I have been given this ministry and I am trusting it so much, I want to finish it, but I don't only want to finish it, but I want to finish it with joy. And the last thing I want you to see here, he stayed the course by not letting anything move him, but also he stayed the course by focusing on the main thing. Look at that last phrase. It says, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's saying, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Now listen, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know what he said? That's my goal. That's what I want to do. I want to testify of the grace of God. I want to testify what God's done for me. I was a lost sinner. I was religious, but I was lost. I was headed toward hell. And God, I was persecuting Christians. God probably should have just wiped them off the face of the earth. That's what me or you would have done. And He says, look, but this is what God did for me. I'm testifying of the grace of the gospel of God. I don't know about you, but if you want to finish your course of joy, testify about God's grace. If your mind is focused on the grace of God and the unmerited favor that God has given you, then you know what? Your mind's not going to be on self. Your mind's not going to be on the hardships. The mind's not going to be on worry. The mind's not, it's going to be, look at what God's done for me. I was lost and I was on my way to hell and God saved my soul from my sins. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying in verse number 24, he says, which I have received of the Lord Jesus. And this is his ministry, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I want to encourage you this morning. You know, we all were lost without Christ. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners, that we're all lost without God. There's a penalty to pay for our sins, and that Jesus Christ came to this world to die for our sins, to pay our sin debt for us. That's the grace of God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that it's not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. You know, it's important that we get this and understand this is what God has given us a ministry to do, testify of the gospel of the grace of God. You know, we are separated from God because of our sins, but Jesus Christ loved us so much, he died on the cross for us, and he paid our sin debt for us. But if we've never responded, if we've never asked Christ to stay into our heart, we're just as lost as the person that's in the gutter or the person that's living what we would consider a wicked lifestyle. All our sins is what will take us and keep us away from God. See, Paul was commissioned to preach this message. Paul said, this is the message I want to give. Now, did Paul teach? Obviously, did he? How did he get those men prepared for the ministry? He taught them doctrine. He taught them truth. He showed them. Paul knew a lot of those things, but he says, this is my main focus. I want to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And when I was thinking about this, when I looked through this, and it's the commission to preach, and this is the commission we've all been given to give out the gospel, to give out. But it's the grace of the gospel. I get it. But I think about that there's much grace in my life. as we heard sung this morning, it's another day of grace. God has given us another day to get up and to be able to serve him and live for him and worship him. And I think you made a good choice by coming to church. But Paul is saying here, step by step, I want to finish my course of joy. If you want to have, and I'm not talking about some big fake smile, I'm not. But if you want to have joy in your heart and peace in your mind, you're going to have to understand to finish your course of joy means you're going to need to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Not only led by the Spirit of God, you're going to have the right values. Not overvaluing yourself, but valuing the ministry God's given you. But also, you have to stay the course. You're not going to be able to give up halfway through. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? So the most miserable people I know today are people who have given up serving God. The truth is, and I know some people, and I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be that person. I want to finish with joy. But the way we're going to finish with joy is by continuing on being faithful. I know I had mentioned to you that Acts 20:24 is one of my life verses. I have another one. It's another one that I really enjoy. And I pray that the Lord lets me be able to accomplish this. And I know I fail all the time. It's John 17:4. In John 17:4, Jesus is praying the high priestly prayer. He's praying to the Father. And he says these words, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And think about those words. Jesus is saying, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Man, I like to be able to say that. At the end of my life, Lord, I've done my best to glorify you. I've done my best to finish the work you've given me to do. You say, Pastor, you're not so old. But you know, the only way I'm going to be able to finish the work that God's given me to do is if I'm doing it today, and as if I'm doing it tomorrow, and if I'm not letting these things move me, if I'm finishing and running with joy. The Apostle Paul had that said. Paul said at the end of his life, he knew he's getting ready to die. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He said, look, I've finished the course that God's given me. And I think he's done it with joy. He's not telling Timothy in 2 Timothy, run from it. Give it up. It's going to cost me my life. No, he's saying, preach the word. He's saying, be instant, in season, out of season. He is finishing his course with joy. Why is that? Because he has finished the course that God's given him. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, here's the thing. Hey, Pastor, I don't have much joy in my life. Are you doing the job that God's given you to do? Are you doing the ministry that God's given you to do? Remember those runner examples? Remember the one that's grudging? Yeah, I got this ministry and I'm grudging my way through it. You know, that's not the kind of Christian life supposed to be. Also, if you're trying to do it without the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to be like that little kid that's trying to run really hard and not get much done. The finish with joy means that we're filled with the Spirit of God and we're running with joy. We got a smile on our face because we know the Lord's directing, the Lord's guiding. And you know what? I don't need to worry about tomorrow because he's leading me. Wherever he's going to take me, I'm okay with. But also, I've learned to have the right set of values. Not to overvalue self, but also not to undervalue my ministry. But I've learned to stay the course. Do you have those right set of values? Is the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you? Are you staying on course? Are you testifying to the gospel of the grace of God? Now, if we're testifying about grace in our lives, it's going to be really hard to complain. We testify about all the good things that God's done. It's going to be really difficult for us to, if we're telling people about the gospel, it's going to be hard not to smile. I don't know about you, but when you give your testimony, now you might not have some big cheesy smile on your face. But I can't be but just happy when I'm talking about when that day, when I knew for the first time in my life that I remember that I was a sinner and the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart and I went forward and man, I'm on my way to heaven now. It's kind of hard not to have a smile when you're talking and testifying to the grace of God in your life. Let's do that a little bit more. You want to finish with joy? I know I want to finish with joy. Paul says goodbye to the Ephesus pastors, part number two. It involves being led by the Spirit of God. It involves by having the right set of values. And it is involving staying the course. One last thing. If you're here this morning and you're not sure where you, if you die today, where you would go, in just a minute, we're going to have an invitation time. Invitation time, you know, the song leader gets up, he sings, we stand with the heads bowed and eyes closed, and people come forward if God's spoken to their heart. If you're not sure where you would go today if you died, whether it be heaven or hell, let me encourage you to come forward. We'll have our assistant pastor standing down here, but he's going to direct someone to take a Bible and show you what the Bible says, how you can go to heaven, and how you can finish your course with joy also. But you have to have a starting point. If you've never started in the race, you're not going to be able to finish with joy. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with